Good afternoon. Welcome to About Town. Have you ever talked to people and there's some people you know, no matter what you say, you're going to be able to change their mind. It's easy to change their mind. Others, you talk to them and you'll never change their mind. And some, you're just not quite sure. Most of us use our influence on a whim because we don't really understand the science behind it. My guest today has done that for us. She tries to explain to us the different styles of influence that people use, help us understand our own style, and learn to be flexible enough to talk with another person and be able to influence them. Her book is entitled The Seven Secrets of Influence. My guest, Elena Zucker, is president of Success Strategies, Inc. It's a management training and consulting firm in New York. I think she said California. She's worked with AT&T, American Express, MCI, Sheraton, L'Oreal. Congratulations to you.
Well, thank you.
A big business.
Thanks very much. It's very nice to be here. We are a small business doing business with big business.
What is it about these big companies that they don't understand influence either?
Well, what's happening today in the business environment is, and it's no secret, you just have to open the newspaper to see that companies are downsizing, right-sizing, restructuring, laying a lot of people off. What's happening is that the people who remain are either overburdened with a lot extra responsibility and they don't have the authority or influence to carry it out. And also people are frightened. They're really suffering from lack of confidence right now because the environment is very unpredictable. And so people need influence. We call it portable power. Because, you know, what used to be, they said, become an expert, become a professional, and learn a technique, learn some skills, and that will carry you. And then they said, it's not what you know, it's who you know that will guarantee your success. Mm-hmm. But these days, neither what you know nor who you know is going to be enough. Because your technical expertise can become obsolete with the next technical innovation. And even your network of contacts can disappear when your company lays off a whole division. So what we're saying is what people need is portable power. That is a set of skills that you can have with you wherever you land up in the organization or outside of it.
It wasn't too long ago I interviewed Gary Smalley, and he had a big bestseller called The Language of Love.
Mm-hmm.
And it was expressing to individuals out there the difference between men and women and the way that we talk. And basically it was helping each one to learn to speak the other's lingo,
mm-hmm.
and therefore they would begin to understand you. And
fabulous.
So that really pointed out to a lot of people, if you give them a metaphor or something, you know, talking to a man and they don't understand your concept, so you turn it into football language. Let's say, for instance, the quarterback, whatever. And then he gets it, you know. So that in and of itself proved to a lot of people
yes.
we speak differently. But it goes much further beyond that in the business world because even women will speak differently. Men will speak differently. Women and children, children and teenagers, everybody has a different lingo. And that's what you try to explain here. What I want to know is how you learned what you learned.
Okay, well, that's to use another metaphor, actually. We did something like a replay, like a freeze action. We looked at people who were very successful influencers, and often they just seem like they do it so gracefully and they're on automatic. They don't know exactly what they do. So we observed them. We kind of froze the action and looked at the small pieces, the small bits. You know, you may have had an exchange or an experience with your boss or someone you work with, and you had an intention to get something you wanted, and you did fabulous, right? And you got what you wanted. And if I asked you, how did you do what you did?
I don't know.
You might say, just lucky, I guess, or the guy was in a great mood, right? Now, that might be great for that encounter, but it may not be terribly useful to you. Why? Because you don't know what to do exactly again.
Right.
So you can't replicate.
Well, that's what you make us do in the book. We have to go through exercises.
Right.
We look at a time where we were successful in changing someone's opinion, and you have to go back and remember it. And
right.
What did I say? What did I do? And you make us write it down, and we begin to understand how we do
right.
what we do.
Now, we don't make you write it down. We influence you to write it down. But I'm
I'm
glad you
influenced
write it down.
Me, and
right,
I did
right.
write
and
it down.
You did do your homework.
So I did
great.
Do this. I went through the exercise, and I said, okay, what is it that the last time I changed someone's opinion? And let's see, where did I write that? You asked me what are my most powerful techniques, and I wrote down, honesty is my first. I'm getting trouble because I'm just,
okay,
you know.
Uh-huh.
And then I'll reverse the situation or something. I'll say, how would you feel if...
Okay.
And then they begin to understand how it is you're feeling. And then the third thing I
did. So you ask the other person for their take on something.
Right.
How would you draw them up?
Great. Right. And then I translate the topic to another situation, or I use a past experience. I'll say, you know, the last time I felt like this.
Okay,
the last
so you time, use an example.
This happened, and here mm-hmm. was the result. And I'm looking at this situation now, and I see that.
Mm-hmm.
So that those were the three things I found I did in the last time I changed
okay.
someone's opinion.
And so were you aware of that before you did that exercise?
No.
Okay. You see, most of us do what we do, and we may do it well, but when it's not working, it's all right when it's working. The problem is when it's not working, we don't know what else to do. And most of us, because we don't know what else to do, or we don't know what we did that didn't work, we just keep doing the same old thing. And what we say is, if what you're doing isn't working, don't do it harder or louder. Do something else.
Okay, let's talk about the definition of influence.
Okay.
You say a misconception is that the most visible or vocal person is
yes.
the most influential. That's a
Wrong.
Misconception.
Right. What I always say is that the person who does the most talking has the least power. Now, I believe that Oriental business people really understand this. We think that the person who takes up the most airtime has the most power, and in actual fact, when you're talking, you can't be listening, and therefore, you can't be gathering information about everybody else in the room. Often, the person who ends up being the most powerful is the one who enters a meeting quietly, silently, checks out who is related to who in terms of power, what's the pecking order, who defers to whom. And then maybe hours later, he or she might make a remark that comes in like a laser, and they've waited, they've bided their time and waited so that they can be really powerful.
Okay, here's another misconception.
Mm-hmm.
Real managers don't need influence.
Right.
They
you know,
just
like
command
real,
management.
Right. Well, real men don't eat quiche, right?
Right.
We know that. And so the same is true that you used to have the power of the office. Used to say that it was good enough that I'm the boss and you do it, or I'm the parent and you do it.
Mm-hmm.
But these days that will not work because, first of all, there's a different kind of worker out there. Workers demand a more strategic, a more influential kind of manager. So real managers are the ones who have the best developed influence styles. And getting back to the definition of influence.
Wait, hold, one more.
Yeah.
Some people confuse influence with manipulation.
Okay, that's a really good issue, and a lot of people raise that issue because the word influence sometimes has a bad rep, especially we read...
He used his influence to... Whatever.
Well, influence peddling, and we read about politicians, you know, all that sort of thing, and so people often ask this because they're concerned about the moral and ethical implications mm-hmm. of this word, and... For me, to make the distinction between positive influence and manipulation is, what are your intentions honorable? Because what we're teaching is a powerful set of tools. It's a powerful set of skills. And we all have to look to our individual conscience to decide whether we're using it for good. Is it my intention as the influencer to add value to you? Am I intending to enrich you, enlighten you, teach you something you didn't know, give you something you didn't have.
Turn you around to
give you a benefit, make you a better person.
Make you a conservative?
No.
just kidding.
I'm not going to try to do that. We won't talk about
that. This is your definition of...
Well, the definition of influence is that influence is ability or power. So it's like capacity. And our seventh secret is that influence is attentiveness, learning the listening and observation skills
mm-hmm.
so that I can learn more about you, and then developing the flexibility so that whatever my own style is, I can become more flexible so I can speak your lingo, like we were talking about before. I can learn what it is that moves you, which may not be the same that moves somebody else.
So the very high-standing CEO will be able to come down to the industrial line and be able to talk to
right.
his workers.
Well, sometimes it's not down, actually. Sometimes yeah. very people who have very high positions in companies don't continue listening, and that's where they get in trouble.
Yeah.
That it's the real power in most organizations. A lot of companies are talking now. See, that thing used to be able to walk upstairs.
Dun, 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 dun. Remember that one?
Yeah.
I had one of those too. Okay. I want people to understand some of the different styles. But I might add that I find I switch around.
Right, absolutely.
Things that influence me daily change.
Absolutely, because it's very important. One of the most important influence skills is staying awake. Because, you know, the tides and the times are changing. And it's very, very important whether you work in a 5-person organization or a 5,000-person one to understand all the variations of the environment around you.
Yeah. Well, I understand that I do change because I find some characteristics of each of these that are me. But I tend to be a Jeller Weller, and we'll explain that in just a minute.
Okay.
What? Okay. Where did I mark this page? 98,
right.
I believe it is. Okay. All righty. The first person you give is the teller analyst.
Okay.
This is the guy who's very, very logical.
Yes.
And he justifies. You meet these people. She asked me, who did you think of when I said Jeller Weller? Well, I thought of a particular talk show host. And for any of those of you who listen to talk radio, David Gold, to me, seems like a teller. Because anytime he's going to make or state an opinion, he very oftentimes has the facts or the latest publication to, he reads
so
the stats. You know, they recently did a survey and blah, blah, blah. That's a teller kind of a person.
Well, it means that he is very logical. That's one of our 6 styles. There are 6 different styles of influence.
Right.
And one of them is what we call the telling or analyst style.
Very organized.
Very organized, very structured. Good, you did your homework. Requires evidence, data, likes to have lists of things.
Mm-hmm.
Is very comfortable with statistics and figures.
Right, so this
Absolutely.
Is not a guy, if he's your boss, you go in and say, you know,
wow,
I just feel the need
Wrong.
For this change.
Wrong.
And you'll say, why? And you'll say, you know, I just, because we've talked about it and we just feel it. I mean, it won't work with him. You've got to come in and say, 29 of the 33 people told
Absolutely.
In our corporation feel that. So
Very
that's
good.
The way they'll listen
yes,
to you.
Yes, absolutely. Because while they may have feelings, it doesn't mean that these people are unfeeling.
They just don't like emotions to rule the company.
That's not what convinces them. What we're talking about is influencing, which is what is the style that convinces another person.
Well, let me ask you, how would one recognize that perhaps another individual is a teller? What would be a key tip-off?
Well, one of the things that we teach in the book and in the seminar is how to have better radar so that while these words may seem a little strange at first, it's a language we're teaching. It's not that complex. It is pretty simple. But once you have better developed radar, clues will pop out at you so that when you meet someone, you'll learn, you'll see all this information. It'll be kind of vibrating at you.
What would I see?
So if someone is a number one style, a teller, they will be using words like show me. They will ask you for lists. You can also observe some of their nonverbals. They tend to be very neat.
Tidy. Their
things
office
are very
tidy.
Symmetrical, very tidy. They will have things on lists. They will ask you for evidence. They will draw inductive conclusions. You will say something and they will say, so therefore you mean to tell me. Because they're like a lawyer. It's a very lawyerly style, building a case.
Yeah.
That's how.
See, I probably wouldn't want one of those for a boss.
But you see, if you had one, the point of this is that you can't pick all the players in your life.
Right.
The only player you can pick is this one.
Right.
Right.
But what I need to learn is what my style is, and then when I go in there, I've got to change it a little bit to get him to listen to me.
It's
or
how
her.
To pick them.
Right.